And a good Friday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. I'm Chase McCabe. He's Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, on the ones and twos. We have made it. It is Friday. We got a huge sports weekend coming your way this weekend. What's up, JoJo?
Chase, you sound like Barry White. I like
Yep, that's what we're working with.
I like the baritone.
Yeah, I got a little baritone going. It's cold season, and that's what I'm fighting, and I've been powering through and all that stuff. And today I was like, you know what? You have the technical ability to just do this from home, and that's what I'm doing. So
didn't the $6 million man have that same? We have the technology.
We have the technology.
That was way before your time.
I'm Steve Austin.
Yeah, I know, but it was in the 70s, and you grew up on Full House and what other?
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers. And what's the other? Was there another household sitcom like
Family Matters?
Family Matters. Okay. All right. Like we had Growing Pains.
I know we're not supposed to admit this anymore, but Roseanne.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Roseanne was funny. I mean, that show was with John Goodman when it came out in the late 80s, 90s. It was very, very funny. So, yeah, man.
Yeah. So we're powering through after last night, our Metro Schools game of the week. You were there for a little bit. Stratford and East Nashville. And if I see another yellow flag on the field, I'm going to crawl in a closet.
Did Coach Bubba Spear, were there 16 in the first half?
20.
Oh, man, 20 flags. Dr. Crane had a good time last night.
It was funny. One of the refs, they switched off the timing ref at half. And so the one that came up had been on the field, and I looked at him. I said, "If y'all don't swallow that whistle in the second half," but they didn't. So
who won the game?
East Nashville won 42-16. They pulled away at the end, they pulled away. But you know, it was one of those things where in high school football you have a running clock, but they never got to that point. So it just drug on and on and on because it was penalty after penalty, and they didn't have the 40-second play clock going either. If they had had that, there'd been even more, I think. So,
yeah, I saw there was no play clock last time. Anyway, mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was. The atmosphere was great. So, it was the bands were still playing against each other like 30 minutes after the game. So, it was a lot of fun. We're going to cover a lot of ground today because I think, like a lot of you, we're tired of talking about the same thing when it comes to a crappy NFL team. I watched the end of that game last night. That was compelling. That was fun. And I don't think you're going to get that Sunday. And I think the crazy thing is even if the Titans win, how much do people really care at this point? Because they know the team's still bad. And I think ultimately everybody wants the coach fired.
Well, that's the thing is that there's almost zero chatter on the social media channels, at people we talk to.
It's like they're shadow banned.
It's like they are. It's like they put stuff out there and nobody cares. And they try. They really try. That's why I keep harping on the pulse of the city this week is Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Is Vanderbilt football. That's the pulse of the city because the Titans are so bad and it looks like there's no hope for them this year that people gravitate towards a winner. And right now, it's Vanderbilt, and I never thought I would say that in my lifetime, but here we are.
It's almost like we've gone full circle, Joe, like where, you know, it's before the Titans and the Predators got here, you know, all you had was Vanderbilt and the Vols and that stuff, and now everybody's talking about Vanderbilt and the Vols because the Titans suck, and, you know, the Preds are starting their season, and there's a little bit with the Preds I want to get into today. I haven't really talked about the Luke Evangelista stuff much, and I got a few things I want to get off my chest on that. So,
but as far as football goes, that's it. I mean, it's right. The Vandy, the train now is what we're talking about. Tennessee's off this week, and I mean, you look in ahead. I know we shouldn't do that, but I mean, it could be if Vanderbilt wins Saturday. There's this collision course in Knoxville in late November that nobody saw, nobody predicted, and my God, I'm here for every second of this.
Oh, I am too. Look, it's a childhood dream without really realizing it was a childhood dream, because it was just a dream. Like, I never thought it could get to that, but I have always wanted that game to mean even more. And if it meant like a playoff spot, or, you know, even better if it was, you know, they both looked, it looked like they both were going to get into the playoffs, it just meant seeding or something like that, that could be even better. But, you know, a trip to Atlanta on the line. I mean, like, it, right now, it could, man, there's a long way to go, but it could mean something. And I think that that's really cool.
Oh, 100%. Which leads into our question of the day. And we've got great response all week about this. Very simple. 615-737-1025. Who wins tomorrow? Vanderbilt, Alabama. We want your prediction. We want you to text us or call us. But tell us why. Don't just say 14-10 Alabama and that's it. We want to know your thoughts. We don't know why, because you guys are a lot smarter than we are. But let us know your prediction on the Vanderbilt-Alabama game tomorrow, because that's Chase and I've talked about all week. What it does for Vanderbilt if they go down there and win is something uncharted territory like we just talked about. But we want to get your responses on who wins tomorrow. And I think, Chase, I looked at this. I think this is the second time that Vanderbilt – has been involved in game day, meaning that they're on campus because Vanderbilt is part of the game. Now, the game day came here in 2008. Vanderbilt played Auburn. That was 2008. But in my research, which sometimes is really bad, I don't recall another time Vanderbilt was part of the game day discussion. Maybe there's one more. I don't think so.
I think you're right, because I don't think they've ever done like in Knoxville when they've played.
Nope.
Because
that's always been Auburn, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, because that's the end of the year.
Yeah. No, I think you may be right on that. And did I see Theo's going to be the picker?
Theo Vaughn's going to be the picker. Johnny Manziel's going to be on the sidelines. And it's funny, it's Manziel making the return to Bryant-Denny, where in 2012 he just shook that entire stadium of 100,000 people of like, what the hell did we just see? And maybe that happens again tomorrow.
Our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. And, of course, that is always driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I've been saying it all week, and the fan has been talking a lot. But you know what? The fan's going to win on this, because why not? Why can't they go down there and win? They're not same old Vandy. This is not the same old Vandy. This is not the Vanderbilt that my dad and grandfather cheered for, and I've cheered for a good chunk of my life. This is a different team. They're a different mindset. They got our head coach that has lived all this, and he believes, and they believe in him, and they got a quarterback like they have never seen before. An athlete with the persona and everything that can talk it and walk it that they have never had on that campus. So why can't they go down there and win?
Here is what former SEC head coach Will Muschamp told you and me on Tuesday about Vanderbilt and experience.
Well, Vanderbilt's a much better team this year than they were even a year ago. They've got depth on the roster. They have 45 seniors or graduates on his team. They've got an elder team. They have a very mature team. They went to two very difficult places to play, Virginia Tech and South Carolina, at night, and dominated both of those games. So, again, I just be us. That'd be my message. Let's just be who we are. We don't need anything more than that.
There you go. The experience. I mean, you talk about that, Chase. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is a different Vanderbilt football team, and when Muschamp's talking about the experience and veteran-led and an elder team, these guys have been through the fire. So, something's going to happen. This is not the same old Vanderbilt, because so many guys have come in here and they don't care what happened in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They just care about what's happening now, and they can shock the college football world tomorrow by winning.
So here's, you want to score? Here you go. Vanderbilt wins 42-38 in Tuscaloosa.
Ooh, I like that. Oh, my goodness.
Did Dr. Crane jump through the ceiling?
Almost. He can't stop laughing back there. He can't. I do think it's a high-scoring game. I think it's up and down the field. I think it goes to overtime, and I think Alabama gets it 37-34. But, look, I'm always wrong. So, Vandy fans, you're good. You want me to predict Alabama winning 37-34 in overtime.
Yep. But you know what? You're going to be wrong. Ah, why is that playing?
I like this text from 9926. Delusional Vandy fans think they have a shot at the playoffs. You're 5-0. You have a chance tomorrow to go 6-0 and knock off Alabama.
Okay, but read the previous text. 9926 is an anti-Vanderbilt, and that's clear.
True.
That's clear, and that's fine. You're allowed to be that way. Yeah. Are you a Vol fan? That's fine. I wouldn't want you to go for Vanderbilt. We don't need you, so that's fine. Text in on Monday when you're wrong. And look, if I'm wrong, I'll admit I was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how this works. Let's see. 8-9-5-4-0 says, I have a problem with everyone's stance on the Vandy-Alabama game. Nobody wants to say they think Vandy is going to go to Alabama and beat them because they are scared they will look dumb. But the reality is that a lot of us are truly thinking that Vandy is the better team and they're going to go win. I appreciate guys calling it out, but I can hear the apprehension in your voice. It's a spot. Look, you're not. It's because we haven't seen this before, but it's just because it's like you've allowed yourself for so long to get excited and believe, and then you get let down. It's like being a Titans fan too. I mean, it just that's what it is. But I'm with as the week goes on. I feel like they have a chance to go down there and win. They got to do everything right. Like, they can't have mistakes. Otherwise, that, you know, Bama's going to take advantage of that. But I mean, who would you rather have right now, Ty Simpson or Diego Pavia?
Oh, that's close. Tim Simpson's playing really well now. Pavia,
they
of
both
course.
Are.
Yeah, here's my thing though. I tell you all the time, this is what Vandy fans now have learned this, which is good. You confirm arrivals, don't announce moves, right?
Yeah,
so just shut your mouth. You're doing fine. You when they win, that's the apprehension there, 9540. That's the apprehension because Chase is correct. We've seen this before. You're let down. Just confirm the arrival. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock, the game's over. You win. I expect you guys to be loud. I expect you to be obnoxious because you deserve the right to be obnoxious if they win.
Well, we're going to confirm the arrivals of a U.S. Cup championship because Nashville SC head coach B.J. Callahan is going to join us coming up next, and we'll get more into our question of the day and Vanderbilt later on in the show. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday, and very excited about our next guest. The head coach of Nashville SC, the U.S. Open Cup champions. Coach, congratulations. How you doing?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I want to start with this. You know, coaches don't like to do this. It's all about the team, and I understand that. But how special is this for you to win this trophy and to help bring the first trophy to Nashville SC?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a sense of tremendous pride. The U.S. Open Cup trophy is the oldest trophy that you can win in American soccer. And I think, you know, obviously more importantly, to be able to do it here in Nashville, to bring Nashville its first ever trophy. It's a real big honor and a testament to sort of all the hard work that's been put in here for 8+ years by a lot of people, and more recently the players, this group that committed to wanting to win this trophy this year.
It's a little bit different because you guys win this on Wednesday, you celebrate, but then you got to turn around and continue the MLS season tomorrow, so you don't really have that time to enjoy it. Can you use this though as a jumping off point, knowing you're going into the playoffs, to kind of help with a little momentum, or do you try and separate the two completely?
No, I think you know, there's limited times in your careers that you can celebrate things, so you want to certainly celebrate and you want to build on those positives. It's been a really, you know, I would say, successful MLS season as well. We've put in a lot of good performances, and yeah, we're just going to try to build on that momentum. You're right, it's short rest. There was a lot of celebration on Wednesday night and a lot of recovery on Thursday and today. But I think when the whistle blows, you know, Saturday afternoon in Montreal, the guys will be ready.
B.J. Callahan is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. B.J., goalkeeper Brian Schwaeke had a really incredible form throughout the U.S. Open Cup run. Just not trying to go too much into the future, but it seems since you've been with Nashville, you've kind of ripped off the Band-Aid, including younger players into that starting lineup. It just What are you trying to, I guess, get towards with that for the future? Is it more of a younger movement, incorporating the veterans at that point, or are you just trying to go full youth movement going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think we've been very intentional from the outset in the beginning of the year to, you know, sign and you know, recruit younger players into the team. And then when you do that, you have to give them opportunities to play. you know, they only get better and you can only see what they do when they get the chance to play. And so, you know, Brian's a great example of that. And throughout the whole, I would say, Open Cup process, we used second team players from Huntsville. We used young first team players. And so it was just really, you could see across the board the depth that we're building here at Nashville. And I would say when you look forward, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build as much depth as possible. And, you know, this is sort of step one or year one of this Nashville 2.0 that we're looking to build.
And looking back from the end of July when you guys took on San Diego and then going into August, you had a slow start to August, only one win that whole entire month. What did you learn in that stretch of games going into the semifinals in September against Philadelphia for the U.S. Open Cup run? What did you learn out of your team when it came to adversity?
Yeah, I mean, it's right. You know, after that San Diego game, we kind of had a little bit of a dip in form. It was actually really interesting as we evaluated the group. We thought our performances were pretty good. It was just we weren't getting the results that we wanted. And so what we learned was, you know, in adversity or times where, you know, you got to sort of double down on what you believe in, what you do well, and stick together. And for us, that's kind of what we did. We tried to simplify the messages. You know, just kind of focus on what we do well, and work hard at it.
Coach, I'm not sure in the aftermath did you see any pictures from the watch party happening here in Nashville Wednesday night? Massive crowd. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously post-match, I was able to sort of take some of that in. And, you know, again, I think it just speaks volumes of the support that we get from our fans. You know, I would also shout out to the fans that traveled to Austin. there was like three or four sections inside the stadium, not just your typical one-away fan section. So great support there. Obviously, the support that we had at Geodis was really awesome. Hoping that a lot of people show up on Sunday when we have the event. And, you know, I think it's just a testament to this club being a reflection of the city and the team that we want to be, the team that we are, and the way that we want to play is also, you know, a reflection of the city. And, you know, I think that's why we get so much support, because the people see themselves in us.
I love it. Tell me what it's like to shut up in a home crowd when you're on the road. That's got to be a great feeling, just a quiet Wednesday night when you shut Austin up. That had to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I mean, playing finals, you know, unfortunately in our sport, we still have to sort of play finals, you know, at away stadiums to make sure that we get the crowd. So, you know, it makes it a little bit more of a challenge, but I would also say there's definitely a level of satisfaction winning away. You know, you're not going to hide from that. And so to even, you know, to overcome that little extra percentage to win the trophy makes it that much more special.
BJ Callahan is with us, Nashville SC head coach. You know, there are several guys on your roster that have basically been here since the beginning, but I want to ask you about one in particular, Taylor Washington, who goes back to the USL days with this team. I know he's not an every night guy, but what does he mean to your club and what he's been able to help with?
Yeah, I mean, Taylor's, I call Taylor like a culture glue guy, right? So as there's new guys that come into the club, there's new faces, even myself included being new, he's able to tell the story of the club. And that's so important, you know, for people to understand where the club has come from, where the club is now, and where the club wants to go. And having somebody through that, you know, sort of that constant thread is so important. And not to mention how hard he works, you know, on and off the field, his involvement in the community. When we talk about this team being a representation of the city, like Taylor is, you know, is the city. and for us to allow him to have a trophy, you know, while his time here in Nashville is, again, brings us a ton of pride.
Now, how much do you pay attention to table watching as you look at where the points are and, you know, what you need to do and what other teams need to do to improve your position? Or is it truly the coach speak of, hey, we got to take it one game at a time and take our business?
I mean, at this point, we don't really watch the table because we know we just want to win the games. And right. So that's, you know, I guess if there's more games available or stuff like that, but with two games remaining in the season, the focus is crystal clear. Go and win the games.
BJ, now that you guys have one competition out of your, I guess, in your rearview mirror at this point, how much easier is it for you as a coach to kind of put out the lineup on a week-to-week basis? Because obviously going through the season, you have to kind of manage certain people's legs throughout the year to say if they're ready for U.S. Open Cup game here, a league game here. How much easier is that for you going forward? And is there a different mindset to that now?
Of course, when you don't have schedule congestion, things are always, you know, going to be a little bit more straightforward. I think what this allows us to do now is create good competition inside the group for the final phase of the season, and allows us to make sure that we have as many healthy, fresh bodies as possible to go in the final part of the season. And I think, you know, with that, in terms of health and competition, you're going to see the best of each person come out.
He is BJ Callahan, the head coach of Nashville SC. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time today to do this. Congratulations again, and good luck against Montreal.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. BJ Callahan joining us here on the program. And again, they have a couple of more games as they will take on Montreal tomorrow. And then Miami, some guy named Leo Messi coming to town on October 18th.
What's happening?
That's going to be a wild weekend.
Sunday. What did he say Sunday, Dr. Crane?
That is the championship. They're bringing home the championship cup to go around Geodis Park. It's a little party.
Oh,
a little celebration.
Nice. Oh, what time's the party?
I believe it's 5:30.
Oh, by then the Titans will be down 45-0, so
exactly.
We'll have plenty of time to go out there.
Hang on. 5:30? That's 2 hours into the game. It might be 60-0.
Are we all invited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be there at 4:30. I'm just going to leave at halftime. I know they're going to be down 85-0.
Why? I'm just now hearing about this on Sunday. I like this. I like championship parties.
I RSVP'd like right after the game was over.
Because we don't have a lot of those around here. What's the last party we had, Chase?
For a championship?
Well, just a big, huge party. Sorry.
Hey, look. Cam Ward has said we ask, we're allowed to say it now, okay?
I know the Pred celebration in 17 was great. I mean, even though they didn't win the Stanley Cup, all that was still great, but we've done nothing for the Titans. I know the team won. The draft was good.
I mean, the draft.
But that's not a team thing. I want a team thing.
Would you include Pancake Pantry for us?
What's that?
Pancake Pantry? We all went together?
Well, we did do that. Yeah. We had a good night.
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, I guess the President's Trophy, but... You know, the Titans went to the AFC Championship game, but they didn't win.
Yeah, and there was not really a, like, well done, guys, after. There's nothing, you know.
I mean, it's not a championship, but last year when Vandy beat Alabama, I mean, that's the biggest celebration that I think we've had in a while.
Well, my question was better if I say a planned celebration. Like, this is all planned on Sunday. And I think it's great. I think it should be packed over there. Dr. Crane, damn, it's turned me into a little bit of a soccer fan here. Nashville pride, baby, right?
Yeah. No, look, it's like we said yesterday. I think it is a huge accomplishment. I'd love to see them now. Dr. Crane, has a team ever won the U.S. Open Cup and the MLS in the same year?
Ooh, good question.
I believe so. I know that they call it a double, so it's like either you win not the U.S. Open Cup, but say like the League's Cup and the MLS Championship. That'd be considered two championships. BJ Callahan actually would be the third head coach in MLS history to do that.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Love it, man.
So I'd have to go back and look at the actual data for that. I believe there's probably about two coaches that have done that. I think one of them is Bob Bradley, and the other one is with LAFC back in 2022. I'll double check for you.
I like him. I got a good feeling about him. You know, like he's come in here, and it's like I said the other day, I think Gary Smith was the perfect guy to start this, and he had championship pedigree. The players liked him. He was great to deal with. I enjoy dealing with Gary, but it got to a point where it had hit the ceiling. And so you bring in a guy that can kind of change it up, make it more offensive, less defensive, and that's what they need to do. It was almost like when the Predators went from Barry Trotz to Peter Laviolette, that was a necessary change for them to make. So,
plus, what are the odds that two of the pro teams in town, the coach's last name is Callahan? I mean, it's just really weird.
One wins, one doesn't.
Right? It's just the whole thing. I mean, when they announce him, is his first name Brian?
Brian Joseph. That's what BJ stands for.
I mean,
that's awesome.
Come on. I mean,
just different. The right? Last name spelt different.
Oh, I love it, man. That's good.
615-737-1025, and thank you to Nashville SC for setting that up. Or thank you, Dr. Crane, for setting that up through Nashville SC. But appreciate BJ for joining us. We'll get back into some Vanderbilt discussion because a lot of you had weighed in on this on our text line. 615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game here on this Friday. Joe, I just saw something interesting on Twitter, and thank you to Connor Newt for sending it to me. But the Lane train has rolled into the hill, better known as Franklin Road Academy. Lane Kiffin is on campus at FRA.
I think they have maybe one of the top recruits in the country. I think he's a junior, though.
I was there yesterday, is what I'm now being told.
I think, I mean, again, that's what we've talked about for the last 20 years. So many people have moved to Nashville, and with that, families, the talent level in high school football gets better and better and better. You know, even it's better than it was 20 years ago. When I was here 30, 40 years ago, it was nothing compared to what it is now. Nothing. And there's a lot of these coaches that come to town, and our buddy Tim Hasselbeck said, you know, the amount of college coaches have come and sat in his office and talked about players. And I've talked to other coaches around Middle Tennessee, the same thing. That never happened before. So you love it. I love it. Dr. Crane loves it because we love high school football and we love these kids who get out there and play hard on Thursday and Friday nights getting this reward and going to college. It's a great thing.
Omari Sanders is who you're talking about.
That would be it.
Yep. He is he's only a junior, too.
Yeah.
Plays both ways, 6'4", 200.
I think he's a safety, maybe?
He plays free safety and wide receiver.
Crack your skull, man.
Yeah.
Good on the up.
Here's what's funny, real quick.
Yeah.
Just about how the game has changed. When I went to FRA, we had some guys that we would look at and be like, man, that's a hell of an athlete, but knew he had no shot to play on Saturdays at a big school. Like, that's just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's really cool for me to see, like, these kids that, oh, we didn't have that.
Oh, right?
Where was he?
Yeah, exactly. You know what's funny is that you look at these kids, like Theo Jackson, who's now with the Vikings, signed another big contract with them at Overton. I knew he was good, but at the time I'm like, all right, he might be able to play on Saturday maybe, and, you know, Knoxville here and there. But the fact that he got the opportunity and exploded, and now he's, you know, the Titans drafted him and cut him.
Yeah.
And now he's kicking ass with the Vikings. I love stories like that. I don't love the fact that he got cut by the Titans. I love the fact that he got the opportunity to prove
himself.
Still
in the league. Yeah.
Ty Chandler did the same thing.
Jordan Mason.
All these guys, right, who grew up here. The center for Tampa Bay is Graham Barton, played at Ravenwood, went to Duke. He's a starting center for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, he got the opportunity. So all these kids here in Metro and Middle Tennessee going to the next level, man, I love it. You know, we talk to these coaches. We see these coaches. And these kids get to the next level, and we remember, oh, man, remember that game versus Wilson Central, that game versus Fairview, whatever? We know these kids, and they don't know us, which is fine, but it's kind of cool to celebrate their success and see what they're doing on Saturdays.
Well, I've told you the story of – Dan McGugan's first year at FRA, I was the manager of the team. We go and do a scrimmage with Jeff Brothers and JP2. And by the way, Jeff Brothers will be on with me and Coach Bubba tomorrow on Greg Pogue's prep football talk. I'm filling in for Greg at 9 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan. He's our legend of the week. But anyway, we went and did like a preseason practice, joint practice scrimmage thing. And Coach, you know, I'm like, they got any good players? And Coach said, I want you to watch number three the whole practice. First play, this kid just burns everybody and takes off 70 yards to the end zone. And I just look at Coach and go, yeah, I think he's pretty good. It was Golden
Tate. Yeah, right. I mean, that's an example right there. Bingo.
And that was the first time that I can say, and you know how this works. Like, you see a kid that it's like men amongst boys. Like, it's completely – it's like watching an NFL player, like that kind of comparison. And it's like I saw that firsthand with Golden Tate, and I was like, holy crap.
And that's a great example. Jalen Hurd on Friday nights, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, oh, my God.
Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean,
on. And so those weren't around 30 years ago. Those type of players weren't around. So more that people have moved to town, the coaching's better, working out's better, the nutrition's better, and these guys realize what they're capable of doing. You know, the fact that you go to – you know, when I went and got a scholarship, the fact that my mom didn't pay anything out of pocket was – I mean, I had tears, right? Yeah. So these kids now, when you get the education – I know it's about the money. I understand all that. But the bottom line, you're able to advance yourself and do better and do good things because of that opportunity you got. Never lose sight of that. So this young man at FRA, good for him, man. There's all the accolades. All the coaches come to see him and go to the next level, get the education, and make it happen. And the world, I'm telling you, the world is yours.
Well, and you'll be proud of me, too, because, like, when I was talking to somebody and Jordan Mason came up, and the only thing I said about him was, he went to Gallatin. He's a Middle Tennessee boy. We claim him. He was the best. So
yeah, I mean, that's exactly.
He's a great guy. He doesn't really.
We're proud of him. What he's doing out there. So that's it. You got the examples of all around. So these coaches come to town. I mean, I think Coach Creasy at Oakland told me, he's like, he named off all like Dan Lanning and Saban and Brian Kelly at Notre Dame and Brian just roll through Middle Tennessee. And it's really, really cool. I'll tell you a funny story real quick about Nick Saban was recruiting Dante Hightower down in Marshall County. And I don't know if Saban got reported for this or not, but it was like 2007 or right in there, right when he got to Alabama, they were doing spring practice, and you had to like, hey, I'm coming to the school, I'm going to talk to the kid, whatever. Evidently, Saban rolls up, I was told by himself, pulls up down there in Marshall County, Lewisburg, gets out in the middle of practice, walks up to the head coach, says, hey, I'd like to talk to Dante Hightower. And they're like, oh, yeah. And Hightower comes over and talks to Saban for a little bit, and Saban gets his car and drives off. I mean, so that's just funny. That's just the thing of, like, these coaches, man, they know where the talent is. They know where to look and where to go. And Middle Tennessee has become that destination for a lot of these college coaches to come down and recruit. Our buddy, Coach Wells at Eastern Kentucky, he's down in – I'm meeting up with one of the assistant coaches tonight. They come down and recruit this area because there's so much – good high school football talent in Middle Tennessee. Guys, you'll be seeing on Saturday at the Division I level, at the Division II level, FBS, FCS. It doesn't matter. They're getting to play on Saturdays, and that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and like you and I went with Ricky to that BS satellite camp that Jim Harbaugh had at Oakland for, was that Jacoby Stevens?
It was 2015 or 16.
Yeah. Down and when Creasy hadn't been there very long, I think.
I think it was maybe his first or second year that he was there. Yeah. Yep.
Something like that. But I remember like sitting there watching Harbaugh. He's got all these kids out there, and I'm like, he cares about one, and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. But there was like 27 other schools that were there.
Yeah.
So I was like, good for these kids. Anytime you can get on their radar and do it one part. For example, I talked to a college volleyball coach couple years ago, and I said, God, that must be it, because your season's in the fall, their season's in the fall, how do you get time to recruit? And they're like, we don't go to high schools. I'm like, well, how do you recruit? And like, all the summer league, all the AAU volleyball teams, we go there because they're all there at one time. We could see the elite players and the next level down from that all in one spot. We don't have the budget to go to all these schools. So that's the Harbaugh thing was great, because a lot of these kids don't get the opportunity. A lot of these coaches don't get the opportunity to see these kids. So all being at one spot was a beautiful thing. We could bang on Harbaugh all day long because, yeah, he was aloof. He was distant. He was kind of rude to us. That's fine.
He's distant.
Yeah, right? Remember, it was 1,000 degrees. Remember what jersey he wore?
No.
He wore Delanie Walker jersey.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Was Delanie there?
No, Delanie played for him in San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it was a billion degrees, and he was sweating like – remember we interviewed him? He sweated like a pig.
Yeah, he had the khakis on.
Yeah, and we're like, how's it going? Yeah, we're good. It's fine. Feels good out here. And he had sweat just pouring off his face. But anyway, that was great because all these kids got to be on a radar for all these colleges. Yep. And so I'm just really grateful that we were part of that day. We saw that day, and these kids get opportunity to go to the next level.
Yeah. No, it's awesome to see. And I'm just glad that, you know, Middle Tennessee has become such a hotbed. One more quick story. I will never forget. We're doing the game blitz, and this is probably the first or second year. I think it was the second year. And Austin Stanley, who's now with A to Z Sports, was out at, I want to say, Brentwood Academy, and he calls in to do a report, and he goes, hey, do you guys want Butch Jones? And we're all
yeah.
And, like, we couldn't really ask him what he was doing, but you asked him about recruiting Middle Tennessee in general, and he gave a really good answer. But we had him on for, like, 2 minutes. Austin just handed him the phone.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, he I know that Parker and Connor are doing the game blitz tonight. If you're a college coach around, call in and talk. You don't talk about specific players, but that was huge. And yeah. So many people heard that interview with Butch Jones. He's not stupid. He can't coach, but he's not stupid to call in and say, hey, I'm here, and we got a lot of people listening on Friday night. It was good for him. And so that's a great outlet for a coach to do that and be seen. I remember James Franklin would fly the helicopter around and make that grand entrance that would do that. But it's a big deal. And, high school football here is never going to be on par as it is in Ohio, Florida, Texas. I understand all that, but it's on the radar, man. And these coaches are making it now a destination to come here. And I as much as we love high school football and these coaches and these kids and these communities, it's a beautiful thing. Last night at East Nashville and Stratford, watching all the people come to that football game last night, packed, was great. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I'll tell you the funniest thing was they announced at the concession stand they had pork shoulder and catfish, and the line to get catfish, I mean, Dr. Crane tried, was like 60 deep.
It was. Yeah, and luckily enough, as I was walking out, I saw Coach Law, and I said, hey, tough loss, unfortunate. Hey, next week, 1-0, you got this. His wife, Christy, stopped me and goes, hey, how would you like some pork shoulder? I was like, well, thank you. So she gave me two hot dogs and a pork shoulder, and I left.
Here's the funny thing. I was right behind Dr. Crane when that happened. And I was like, hey, Nick. And he ran. Like, he wasn't going to share. He just ran for me.
See, here's a bigger story here. You were just being nice.
You were. You were being a good
boy. And look at the reward you got for being
nice.
How
was it? Was it good?
It was pretty good. I'm a sucker for a hot dog on a grill. I mean, the grill marks on a hot dog are incredible. The pork shoulder, though, I only ate a little bit of it because today after work, I'm going to make some barbecue nachos.
Oh, there you go. Good.
Why do you do this to me at 12:45?
Joe, you both know me well enough. All I think about is food 99% of the day.
I know.
That 1% is me focused on work here.
This is why when Joe or I win the Powerball, we're going to invest so you can just open restaurants.
Yes, that's it.
That's what we're going to do.
That's all we're going to do is sit there and be proud owners of Nikos, proud co-owners.
Yes. We're going to be your top investors, and we're going to give Nani whatever she wants, and then you get the restaurants.
Well, thank you. And whenever the restaurants are full, there's always going to be one booth that has one light on the middle of the table. It's going to have Chase and Joe's picture on it, which is their booth.
And that's where we'll sit down and we'll go, why do you do this to me?
Now you're making me cry. And you know how hungry I am.
Disappointed me. You've disappointed the family.
Because I'm on that stupid type 2 diabetes medicine because my A1C is higher than Willie Nelson. So I'm hungry like all the time, but I can't eat. But thank you. Your food is mwah!
Yes, it is.
Good.
All right, more coming. We have gone down rabbit holes and everything. More coming here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Dr. Crane, I love your taste in music. Very good. Little Kenny Rogers bringing us back here on this Friday. Back to the text line. Dustin in Hopkinsville wants you to know, Joe, I just had a chimichanga lime margarita on the rocks, and now he has to pee.
So. Oh, okay. A chimichanga what?
In a lime margarita.
Oh, okay. I thought he had a chimichanga lime margarita. I'm like, how the hell does that go together? Okay, I get it now. Yes. All right, well, good. Thanks, Dustin. Thanks for listening, Dustin, up there. Appreciate you. In Hop Town.
Yes, in Hop Town, for sure. Hair Metal Henry said, didn't they have a parade down 2nd Avenue after the Titans lost the Super Bowl? They did, and back then I didn't have a problem with it because it was we didn't know what any of that was like. Now I would have a problem with that, but that's okay.
And I think they would, too. And I think But that was all brand new, and I think that was maybe the last kind of planned parade celebration for something in this town, is good.
Didn't the Predators take down their regular season championship banner? I think I heard that.
I don't know. But there was not a parade for winning the President's Cup. But
no, trophy.
I'll tell people all day long how magical 2017 was, that playoff run.
Yeah.
We had never experienced that. The city lost its freaking mind. Hundreds of thousands of people are downtown at those games and the watch parties. And when people, we tell people, we want that back. That's what we want back. That's why we love the Predators, because what they brought to the city at that time. And they can do it again. I mean, it can happen. I don't know when it's going to happen again. But if it happens again, we got to experience that. And it was amazing. And that's why we want this team to be so good with the Predators, because we know how the city can come together. Same with the Titans. Same thing. But that look, with the Titans, when you playoff run, it's for a few days. There's one game, you're gone. A playoff watch party with the Predators, what happened in 2017, is something I will never, ever forget.
Yep.
Because how much fun it was.
Oh, I won't either, because like that whole run, and I didn't even travel with them that year, but I was exhausted and I didn't play. Like, I got to the end of that when the cup final was over and it all settled down and everything. And I just remember like literally walking into my bedroom and just falling into the bed. And I think I slept for 5 days.
Yeah, that's what it was, but it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And the celebration for Nashville SC. Look, I know it's not the MLS Cup. I know that, but the more I read about this, what cup? The U.S. Cup?
The U.S. Open Cup.
U.S. Open Cup. It's kind of a big deal, you know? So
it's the oldest cup in the United States.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah.
Are we sure? I mean, don't we have some of George Washington's cup somewhere?
Probably.
Wouldn't that be older?
Oh, George Washington, when he would just throw you into the wall on the ice.
His teeth are still around. Do you know that?
He's tough.
Yeah, they were wooden.
Mahogany.
Never told a lie. Did you ever read about the George Washington God complex? Fascinating. No. How he should have been killed about 55 times. He never was. I'm telling you, it is. You should look into it. Google it and read into it. It's like,
is it one of those like rabbit holes go down?
But it's all like factual. For people can weigh in and let me know that read this. But it's like divine intervention that he did not die and was selected as the leader, founder of America. I'm not telling you, man. It is some good material. Like, I like this crossing the Delaware. They should have been destroyed by the British Army.
Yeah.
And like a cannonball missed his head by like an inch. I mean, all these things, all these crazy stories, how George Washington survived those, become the leader of America. All right, if you're bored, look into it. It's better when you take gummies and read this. So it's, it's a lot of fun.
Well, isn't everything better?
I think so, right? Even the Titans can be a little bit better with that. Come on, man.
I don't know.
But, yeah, it's one of those things. You just sit down and look into it and go. So, yeah. See what we devolved into? I mean, the U.S. Open Cup to George Washington, divine intervention for...
Well, here's the thing. Let's just say for a second the Titans go on like a 4-0 run.
Yes!
I don't think we would know what to do. We'd be like, the Titans, well, they won again. That was cool. What do we do?
Well, it's like somebody wrote in the day, it's like, are you going to be there when they win games? Well, of course we are. Yeah. We are rooting for that football team to win a Super Bowl. It'd be nothing better for this city for your NFL team to win a Super Bowl. We'd love for them to win. And if they win on Sunday, we'll come on this air on Monday and talk all the accolades of how they got it done.
Yeah.
Absolutely we will.
But I just think a majority of our listeners don't want to hear, well, they lost 26-0, but gosh darn it, didn't they try?
I mean, they did play hard on a few things, and that kicker he missed, two field goals. I said, we're coming back to you, buddy. Today's your day. Today's your day to do this. No, I'd like them to go out to Arizona, kick their ass, come back, have some confidence, and go on. Do I want the Titans to trade Jeffrey Simmons? No. I want them to win games and have Jeffrey Simmons be that cog of the football team that turns it around.
Yeah.
We all would love this. Every show in this city on Sports Talk Radio would love that.
They would.
Is it going to happen? I don't know. I'd love for it to do, but like my therapist told me, Chase, I can't want it more than you.
Yep. And the Titans have to want it more.
Mm-hmm.
You know who does want it? That is Christopher Dwayne Sanders. He's going to join us coming up next here on the program. We'll talk to Chris about the Titans on the other side. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.